Let's move to, are you, Glenn Ford, an ultra-leftist who doesn't understand Barack Obama's historical contribution, and are you too harsh on him? Why are you calling him a warmonger?
Oh, I'm getting the Barry Bonds treatment.
No, I'm asking a question that you've been asked before. I'm not, you understand.
Well, first of all, leftist, the black policy and the white policy in this country are totally different. They do not match. When black people were asked to describe themselves, as often happens in polls, the Joint Center for Political and Economic Studies does this, and they ask black folks, just like white folks, to rate themselves as liberal, whatever the hell that means, moderate, secular conservative, or Christian conservative. And what I found in my research, and what the brilliant Professor Michael Dawson out of Harvard and the University of Chicago, the best demographer in the world, has found, is that there is no correlation between black people who call themselves liberal, because we don't use, we don't understand political terminology in this country, and white people who call themselves liberal. That black people who call themselves moderates are on almost every measurement far more to the left than white people who call themselves liberal. In fact, black conservatives are often more liberal than white liberals. So there is no match. Now, what Dr. Dawson has found is that the great bulk of black people behave politically like Swedish social democrats. Swedish social democrats are way to the left of the left wing of the Democratic Party.
Right.
All right? But there is no room for us, because there is no organized political vehicle like that for us. And we don't even use the terminology social democrat. All right? And, says Dr. Dawson, with the bulk of black folks acting like Swedish social democrats, there's a whole big group that is way to the left of that. Well, I'm way to the left of that. But I will speak politically about where I stand in black terms and not in these stupid American or white-oriented terms.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I'm left even on the black-hand side, all right?
Right. What do you think, I mean, the thing that we were hoping for, and I, by the way, I wasn't trying to be cute with you.
I was devil's avocado.
That's what I was trying. But if it didn't work, I didn't, you know, I know totally where you're coming from. Here's the thing, you know, given the fact that in the last congressional election that there was, for people that are trying to be anti-war, a significant outpouring of support for the terrible Democrats, it's pretty terrifying to me to watch Obama start out by saying, I would not use nuclear weapons on civilians, as if there's any other way, but he's introduced the issue of nuclear weapons, and then says, scratch that, I believe the word was, take that off the table. Hillary accuses him of being naive, but he talks about invading Pakistan, not, as I understand it, not, so essentially it's this redeployment argument. Hillary is saying keep all your cards on the table, including the nuclear card. What in the world is going on here? And if this is what our Democratic friends are asking us to get excited about, but let's talk about Obama. How do you understand him right now?
Well, the first thing I want to say here is that the people, Democrats at large, were voting for a party that is not there. It does not exist.
Right.
Just as we would prefer to vote for something that looks like a Swedish Democratic Party or to the left of that, the mass of Democrats who want an end to the war were voting for a party that is not opposed to the war, that only wants to play chess games with the issue of war and wants the game to continue through the election. And that must really be understood. Obama is just like them. Obama has no core politics. Obama is a rank opportunist. At least I hope he is, because if he's not, then he's a dyed-in-the-wool imperialist.
Right. So what...
See, if he's a rank opportunist, if the wind turns, he might turn to the left.
Well, let's talk about...
If he's dyed-in-the-wool, then right, there will be no turning.
Just so you know, we're talking with Glenn Ford, longtime commentator in so many different black left formations, the present executive editor of the Black Agenda Report, who's just written a new editorial commentary on Obama, the warmonger. Let's talk about the Afghanistan. Explain to our listeners, what exactly is Obama saying?
Obama's saying that he's urging that the United States invade Waziristan, that's western Pakistan, if it has intelligence, verifiable intelligence, that Osama bin Laden and other al-Qaeda people are at a location. They do that with or without the permission of the Pakistani government. That's his position. That's unilateralism. But it's far more dangerous than the unilateral, illegal, criminal invasion of Iraq. Far, far more dangerous. And I'd like to explain why.
Please, please.
Al-Qaeda, by 2001, was an integral part of the Taliban. In fact, Al-Qaeda, a week before 9/11, assassinated the leader of the Northern Alliance, the final holdouts against total Taliban control over Afghanistan. Suicide bombers of Al-Qaeda did that favor for the Taliban to eliminate that enemy. They were acting as integral parts of the Taliban. So we must understand who the Taliban were and are. The Taliban were a creation of the Pakistani military and their intelligence. Totally. They marched in from Pakistan. They are products of those thousands of right-wing fundamentalist madrasas, those are religious schools, that form the only real political base for the military regime in Pakistan. You see?
Yep.
When the United States invaded, helped the Northern Alliance to topple the Taliban after 9/11, the Pakistanis went crazy because of the thousands of Taliban fighters who were being captured, many of them massacred under the most gruesome circumstances. A huge proportion of them, sometimes half of a unit, were Pakistani nationals. They pressured and pressured and screamed, I'm talking about Pakistan, until the United States forced the Northern Alliance to let thousands of these guys go so they could be repatriated back to Pakistan. The United States, in its war with the Taliban, was already at war with thousands of Pakistanis. And I knew, in days after 9/11, when I, like other people, finally got our heads together, you know, after this great shock, said, whoa, this is the greatest threat to the world since the Cuban Missile Crisis, because Pakistan has the bomb.
That's right.
And the bomb is controlled by a military regime whose proxy is the Taliban, with whom the United States is at war. And bin Laden, if he's going to get away, is going to have to go to Pakistan. And all that unfolded. And we see the results. Now, that is the geopolitical situation. And Hillary Clinton called Obama naive when he seemed to be walking a halfway peace line. This is way beyond naive, his talk about invading Pakistan. That would mean that the United States would be violating the sovereignty of Pakistan and would either do one of two things could happen. Either Musharraf would be brought down by his own people from the left and from the right, all right?
Right.
Because he would lose his entire base. Remember, the army is politicized, and that army, the politicization on the army is all to the right, which means fundamental Islam in Pakistani terms. So if he allows, or seems to be allowing, an invasion of sovereign Pakistani territory, he'll either be brought down, or he will have to, in order to avoid being brought down by that action, he'll have to rattle the bomb.
Well, stay there a minute. Well, Glenn, that's really great. We still have some more time.
So that is what is so, not naive, world-class irresponsible of people who speak like Obama. Remember, the whole Republican field speaks like that, except for that lone wolf from Texas.
Well, you know, this is Eric Mann. You're on Voices from the Frontlines, KPFK 90.7 FM in Los Angeles, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. I'm on the line with Glenn Ford, the executive editor of the Black Agenda Report. Let's stay on Pakistan for a minute. One of the things that's scary to me, besides the two-party system, is the long history of people in the United States with such a pro-imperialist outlook. And one of the parts of the pro-imperialist outlook is no respect for the concept of sovereignty. I mean, Pakistan, as I understand, is a right-wing society run by right-wing forces, but it is called Pakistan. It does have borders. When, at the same time this is going on, I hope this doesn't distract, is that you have Chuck Schumer and Obama and Hillary Clinton attacking China because they will not devalue the yuan, in you know, basically telling China what its economic policy should be and threatening them. So you're going to have either the Democrats saying, well, the fight's, let's get out of Iraq and let's take on China and Pakistan. And as long as the American people, for that minute that Obama said, you know, I thought I might talk to Fidel Castro. I might talk to people in North Korea. And Hillary Clinton went after him, talk. Instead of standing up and saying, yeah, I'm talking about, it's called diplomacy. It's called negotiation. You negotiate with a communist. You negotiate with a terrorist, says Hillary. So basically this whole discourse is really getting me freaked out. It's as if the American people still want to go to war. And even those that want to get out of Iraq are going to sort of be in a position of saying, well, who can I hate that's foreign? Who can I hate that's of color? I think I'd rather hate the immigrants and the Chinese if I'm Democratic. No, I'd rather hate the immigrants, the Chinese, the Iraqis, and the Pakistanis. The concept that the United States, the primary aggressor, consistently convinces the American people, quote, that they're under attack, and it goes over, that not one elected official will stand up, scares the hell out of me.
I'd like to say two things.
Please.
First of all, remember, in that conversation about dictators who should not be talked to, included was Hugo Chavez,
right,
of Venezuela.
One of the most
Chavez and his party have won, I believe, five, if you were also talking about parliamentary elections, five free and fair elections since Chavez came to power. Elections that were observed by none other than Jimmy Carter, as well as a whole host of foreign observers. There is no question that he is the democratically elected leader of Venezuela. So their critique is not really about whether people are democratically elected or justly chosen. It's about what they have to say about the United States. So let's make that clear. And Obama did not make that correction. He accepted the lumping of Hugo Chavez along with all the rest. That's one thing. I wanted to say that.
And I was there on the, by the way, Manuel Criollo and I were honored to be there on the re-election of Chavez in the streets of Caracas. One of the most amazing experiences of our lives. Continue
on. That is a really valiant struggle going on
there. Absolutely.
He's in fact being extremely cautious with in the midst of these provocations. But that's a show in itself,
yeah,
as well. The other, your main point regarding all the squealing about China and how they ought to do something with their currency, it would be laughable if it was not so serious. That the United States, of all countries in the world, talk about unfair trade. A, it's the United States that was beating down the door to get China to open up its market for U.S. goods and its vast army of cheap labor for U.S. manufacturing, so that they could export, the United States could export our jobs to that place. So for the United States to be talking that crap is laughable. But the most important thing is that the United States, since World War II, has wielded a dollar that is an artificially dominant world currency because of U.S. military power that sets the terms of all trade in the United States. All oil, until very, very recently, was traded in U.S. dollars. And that's why so many countries owe the U.S. or the U.S. created institutions, the the International Monetary Fund, et cetera.
Glenn, I'm gonna, because we have about 2 minutes left, I want to end with something like this. I mean, you're a pretty brilliant guy, and, you know, I'm not flattering you, I'm just telling you this. The Black Agenda Report is very important. I mean, this terrific commentary is by not just yourself, but, you know, but a lot with your lead. We've gone in this very short interview, seriously, from Barry Bonds to the invasion of Pakistan, to the terrific background you've given. How can we build up Black Agenda Report? I know, like all online, what do we do to build that institution so you can get more voice?
Well, you know, I'm not used to being a telethon operator. Really not in my nature,
but
I come from journalism,
right?
But the only income we get is from contributions, and that's a very easy thing to do. Just go to www.blackagendareport.com, and there are places all over the page where advertisements would usually be,
right?
Where one can use PayPal, or one can send a check if you don't trust the electronic system.
So
easy to arrange.
Well, yeah, and I'm going to do mine today. I really am. www.blackagendareport.com.
Yes.
Folks, you know what I was going to say is when you listen to Voices from the Front Lines, don't come without your checkbook, don't come without your credit card, and don't come without your notebook. Because when somebody says that somebody's going to be killed on death row, we don't want you to say, that was a fascinating show, you know, Pastor Chardonnay. We want you to say, I got to do something about it. If you liked what Glenn Ford had to say, we want to build Black Agenda Report, and we want more people to read it and for them to get it out. So you got my contribution, so at least we know one. If you don't show up, you can out me on the next show, Glenn. And I'll have one. We'd like to have you back on soon. Thank you so much for talking to us, and we'll be in touch.
I'm so pleased for the opportunity. Thank you, brother.
Take good care. So that was Glenn Ford. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back with another incredible guest, Ward Churchill, Indigenous leader, professor, emeritus, professor in exile. We're going to talk. Let's take a break. You're on KPFK 90.7 FM, 98.7 FM in Santa Barbara. This is Eric Mann, Voices from the Front Lines. Catch you in a minute.